Comments on the Masora. Some of you just took it for granted, repeated things without saying what they were. I wanted you to list the information, what it was. Like this means two or twice. And then there was a very strange, perplexing and then on the next line down, a lot of you missed, there's another little, which means four, or occurs four times. This here, the main reason I gave that assignment is to get you I wanted just to see that you got into the key, the last key into the index in the back. A grammatical expression that has to do with the accent on the word where the little, remember your little circles now over the word call your attention to the Masora, not the small alphabetical numbers, they refer to the critical apparatus. So on the one term, this comment refers to this and this. I didn't expect you to know that. I wanted you just to see that to get you into the Latin so you'd have to translate it into English. No, I didn't grade hardly for anything at all other than just to get attention to do that whole thing. I could see that you got into the apparatus. The only bearing that it has is it's showing their opinion on why this should be read this way, and instead of what seems to affect everybody, this. Now, if you notice, there was a dash here. There's a variant. This is a variant. Number B variant. Okay. There's a little dash here, which means I mentioned this back a long time ago, but most of you forgot. When there's a dash, it means it's the same as the word up above. Except the only difference is in this part of the word. So they just abbreviate. They don't put this part, they just put a dash for the part that's common. Okay, so then the only difference was, if you compare the two, vowel pointing. Okay, and the vowel pointing is different here, which changed the spelling of the word, which changes it. And after it says, compare Aquila to make it, and Theodosian Septuagint version, and they all have form instead of satisfied, so it changes the word, spelling of the word, and so it's formed in his knowledge instead of satisfied, and then his knowledge, the next word. The other thing that gave people problems was looking up go ahead, Ron.
The space, the vowels on that, the D and the D, those were the space.
The what now?
The D, during the space and the D on the, in other words, two times or four times, to that one more, out from the source. Is that given the Hebrew other words, that's the Hebrew signification for number. In other words, A being 1, B being 2. That's what they're doing. The alphabet.
The Hebrew alphabet, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. General classification.
Yeah, I mentioned that. The only way to find that out in the beginning of Hebrew grammar is it gives you the alphabet and gives you the numerical equivalent.
Yeah, that's right. I'm saying that.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that. Yeah, I didn't grade down if you didn't do that, but the only thing I wanted you to know is that when you have a letter stands by itself, sometimes two letters with a dot over it, like this, it's either calling your attention to the frequency of occurrence, like in these two, or sometimes, like in the case of this, it's an abbreviation, but it just calls your attention to the abbreviation. But the only way you'd know for sure is to check in the front of any Hebrew grammar where they give the alphabet, they give the numerical equivalent. So this is the second letter of the alphabet is 2, and this is the fourth letter of the alphabet is 4. But I didn't grade down for that. I just threw that. I didn't know that. Next. Okay. Is there anything
else?
Well, if you look in the key under the manuscript that I told you, it gives you it gives you A, and it gives you this, and then it gives you this. And if you look in the key or in the index in the back, either one, you find these are three versions of the Septuagint. Equivalent to make Theodosia. And so it's just telling you here. Where it gives you, this is, I'll write out the whole thing, it gives you, and it says, confer, or compare these three, okay? Now this just calls your attention to this dash in front of this, if the rest of the word is the same, it's just this part that they're calling your attention to, which happened to be the pointing, and then it says, compare these. Confer, if you look into the Latin dictionary, it would be compare or see. And then if by comparing, if you compare the Septuagint translation that we've got, you see that it says form. That would be how you could check and see. Now, since we don't have all three separate versions, but they're all the same, it's saying that they're all the same, so the one that's in there would give you. They don't have all three. It's not existent, all one complete form. It's just different parts, and it would be a critical edition of Septuagint, which would be that raw two volumes that we had. But the one that's in this translated into English that we have was in the end of Codex Vaticanus, or the beginning, I guess, for the Old Testament. But it's a combination of these. They don't really know which is which. But since they're all three the same, if you check that and see what it says formed in the Greek instead of satisfied. So it tells you that what the pointing does to it. Okay. There was a perplexity. On the first variant, okay, it was Qumran A and B and the Septuagint. Somebody left out the Septuagint, where it says Q, A, and B, and then it gives you the symbol for the Septuagint, meaning that all the Septuagint versions read that. And so they add or they add light, and then it says but. And some of you just gave me that back, which is okay, but I wanted you to decipher what it meant. And the problem, this, it gives you the dictionary form, so all it is going to Gassinius, and I just wanted to see how many of you could use the Hebrew lexicon, basically. Most of you got confused over this letter here, and this letter. You looked up this letter instead of this letter, and you got a different word. this is the little tittle that talks about in Matthew, the oath and tittle that you probably remember from hermeneutics or whatever, but this little overhang here changes the letter from, this is a D and this is an R. So, a lot of you got the wrong word because you got the wrong, in the dictionary, you got the wrong ones of you that went that far. Got the wrong word, and it affected everything from that point on. But if you look at the dictionary, this first word is just to see, or he sees, which is what's in the text, and the second one is to drink. Now, what is that? To be satisfied, to drink your fill, to be satisfied to drink or to pour out drink. What does that have to do with anything? Well, it has nothing to do with anything. It's just their speculative comments, that's all. And that's the reason that I wanted you to see these different things is to be able to see our only value really stops with when it gives you the manuscript evidence for the variant. Now, this is not a variant here. This is just a question of pointing here. So, the way the Septuagint translates it, the way the Masoretic text translates it, can both be valid. But now here, it's just a comment. It's just saying that they think the word translated to see should be this other form here, which because of their copy, they would call it a copyist error because they look similar. So, and since the word light is in there, to drink lighter is a Hebraism. Speaking of the light of dawn, to drink it in to become enlightened. So it's just a comment on their part, which is worth. It's just one of those things that they throw in. The last one was transposed after a lot of you just gave me this back, which I wanted you to translate. I mean, tell me what it is. How does this, and this is just copying down what's in the text, because it's in the text. If you look up and compare the text, it just doesn't have the vowel points there. It's his knowledge, or his discernment, or something of that nature. And so it's saying that, in their opinion, the word righteousness is transposed behind this. Well, it's just their way of trying to, it's not a speculative comment. It doesn't mean a thing. So, in any event, though, if you translate this, there's probably, with the different pointing in the variant, the one variant, light, close to 20 different possible translations. So these are some of the problems you get into. But you look at it, and every one of them almost applies. And, you know, you wonder about something like this. I mean, you can't get the whole idea in a precise translation. And, if you realize what it's talking about in the whole context, and everything, it's a marvelous picture. Well, yeah, this is the same word that's in the text. It's just the dictionary form of the word in the text to see. I could see where what some people wrote that they looked under this letter of the alphabet instead of under this letter of the alphabet. Instead of under the ratio guard. I mean, I didn't have any trouble finding them in there. But see, you could look in the analytical lexicon and get the dictionary form, but this already gives you the dictionary form. This other one, which is I didn't know what it meant. That's why I looked at it. I know what it meant.
Where is it?
See. Well, others, some of them found it. Your boss got it right here. Don't be discouraged. Probably the best, if you're using the lexicon, like the new one is key to strong, but that only gives you the same game, but I wouldn't give you a variant or anything. But it's best to take the Hebrew alphabet, copy it down out of one of the grammar, put it on a little tiny card, and then if you've got the new Gesinius is key to strong, put that in front, and that way you've always got the alphabet right in front of you. And when you don't use Strong's number, you can use that to look up by. Is there any other questions? Really, the most of the problems in research, lack of ability is not the main problem. The main problem is the impatience, which can be the known lack of time. A lot of times, it's just impatience to get it done. The lack of organization. Those who have the best organization usually have the best leaders. Not just in Europe, but I mean in general. Because if you can visualize things and organize your thinking, usually you're less apt to make mistakes and less apt to overlook something issue. Okay. In the interlinear translation, it would just mean that you could take it different ways, but light would be the direct object. He shall see light. But Phineas gives that as idiomatic, see light equals become enlightened, or genius, right, or depending on whatever. So it could be a little freer translation. Although it could stand without the variant, you've got pretty strong evidence for it, since you've got both Isaiah scroll and Exodus precision version calling that did that. But without it, it makes sense too. And, the other source you could have looked for discussion on that is in Hebrew grammar. There's two of them give a discussion of it. If you look up Isaiah, uncovered a lot more idioms than are in these older works.
don't know of any work that's published for that per se. So it just be in more recent commentary. How many are in ministerial organizations? But God's been giving in there a really good balance. We're dealing in here mainly just with tools, but he's giving the spiritual use of them. Yeah, it's really addressing right here. On a campus now. List of reference works for lexicons and grammar, and I think I just gave, I got into the grammar and gave you three dice and I gave you Weiner. Is that right? Okay, well, hang on to that. I'm hoping we'll get to that pretty quick here. And, okay, the post Dyson, we're talking about, remember Dyson was the Pyreologist who collated the papyri and the number of works are based on from the turn of the century. So all the grammars and lexicons after him are a lot more information than they did before him. Sometimes it's expected, but in a lot of cases if you use anything before his time, you want to compare it with something later to double check. Post Dyson grammar, full four volumes. The fourth volume was just recently well completed. It's based on Weiner. You study these guys, just a little brief history, they're really interesting. He only lived to finish volume one. He died at sea of exposure after the German sub attack in 1917. I wonder what he's thinking about. Volume 2 was completed by his pupil in 1952, and Volume 3 in 1963, Volume 4 in 1976. 3 and 4 were done by Nigel Turner, who was on the UBS committee, so it represents the most recent scholarship in the area of syntax and style. The last one, style, he was very cautious of what he was. A.T. Robertson's big grammar is even next. That's the great in that area.
That's a good observation. Next one is Block, the Lunar Pump. Lunar, Lunar, D-E-D-R-U, N-N-T-R, Little Pump.
Thank you.
real concise in the work. The elements we've got to create and just print that. We've got a lot of insight to really cover. this is how it is. So it shows you a lot of comments, a lot of the liberals who listen to you, like the JDP is very interesting, these are different people. Thank you.
quite a, there are only one word definition by family, which is over etymology, which is guidebook that translates the basement. Self-destruction.
If there's any question on the assignment that you really perplex, talk to you. Don't keep it inside. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
He was right. He was through here, too.
Yeah, he said, I don't know. was thinking about just maybe going to call, hanging around up there, and
grab up.
What do you know about the two different mountains? Were they brothers?
Okay. Yeah. One's the son of the other.
Oh.
The one that revised the analytical lexicon is the son of the one who did the grammar. As far as I know, he's the son of the grammar. I think he's the son.
Probably would have to be the son because A.J. Robertson mentioned both.
Well, one died in 1917, but his son, he'd have to be born before 1970. I don't know. I have to chase it down. He's a real interesting character. So is Robertson. Robertson used to go door to door down through the South, through all the churches, trying to get money together, people to support his grammar. He was married to Brodus's daughter. The guy wrote a commentary on Matthew and did sermon outlines. He's a real scholar and preacher in England, I think. But anyway, he married his daughter, and apparently he was a student of Brodus, and then married his daughter, and then kind of had a lot of trouble. I guess after Brodus died, he had a lot of trouble keeping his wife. I think they were stomping through the South. It was finally published